Okay.
We hear you.
Magic. Clearly, I've got my total Reddit noob, like, default icon.
It's all good. If you want to work on that while we're doing this, I think it'll change.
Well, good. Let's see what hilarity ensues.
Yeah, exactly. In the meantime, I will get you all set up with premium. But T Crown, if you want to kick us off, I think we are waiting on one more person, I believe, right? On the silo team?
Two.
Yes, it is two.
I might have to refresh. Oh, no, my microphone's working. Cool.
Yeah, cool. We hear you. You sound great.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. I think we're still waiting on two of the team members, but might as well get a little intro going. We have the Silo team today. Silo is a sci-fi multimedia company that starts with a 3D avatar collection of three species of Uber. Unique characters. However, Silo is not just NFT collectibles, it is a movement. They are taking amazing 3D art, a Web3 platform dedicated to supporting mental health and creating a sci-fi franchise. The NFTs are just the beginning of the Silo empire. I do believe they finished their whitelist yesterday, and today is mint day, their public sale. We have to give them a round of applause for being here. I'm sure that's wild. You can check them out at EnterSilo.com, and that is P-S-I-L-O. They're currently on the Brave browser, and they're featured number 3 on NFTNow.com. So we're joined by a whole gaggle of them. They have their microphones muted. They have to remember to unmute them to talk. But yeah. Go for it.
Thanks so much for having us. Yeah, we really appreciate it. We do have Gurmukh in the crowd as well. He's, you know, our artist and partner. I see Demelza joining as well. That's great. Or she flashed on for a second. So I think once we have Gurmukh and Demelza, yeah, we're really solid, ready to go.
Yeah, I see him with his hand up. I invited him to speak.
Nice. Yes. Okay.
A shout out to both of you too. If you could accept our invite to come to stage, then you will be all set to go.
I think I did it. Thanks a lot.
You did it, yeah.
Oh, perfect. I see you now. You just popped up. Amazing.
Awesome. I guess maybe I just run through who we have here. We have 5 members of their team. We have Dr. Scott Muir, principal investigator at MindMed and advisor at Silo. Dr. Demelza Hayes, head of research at Cointelegraph and another advisor to Silo. Matt Bauer-Schmidt, G-Eazy's manager, owner of the Revels Group, and an advisor to Silo, you'll never guess. Gurmukh, I don't want to butcher your last name, so I won't say it. One of the top 100 3D designers, was a concept designer for Star Citizen and developed iconic spaceships. Taught at Noman in Hollywood. He's a lead artist, co-founder of Silo. And last but not least, Solve Maxwell. Bitcoin entrepreneur since 2011, an OG like myself, blockchain company advisor, and another co-founder. So thanks for joining us, guys.
You're so welcome. This is cool. Thanks for having us.
I think what we're going to do is I have some questions for you, and I think we can take some questions from the audience. Maybe if we get through some of the warm-up ones, if that sounds good.
Both are definitely cool.
All right, so I am just learning about it myself, and I think many people out there today are curious, what is the vision for your project?
So the main vision is we wanted to build a sci-fi multimedia brand, but we're Web3 native folks. We've been in the space for a really long time, so most of us, and we wanted to do that, you know, and where we fit in, where we're most comfortable. We were seeing a bunch of three-dimensional avatar projects in the works last year. And we thought, you know, this was the right space for us. We knew, you know, founders of metaverse platforms and other people in the space that are working in augmented reality and such. So it was, the real push was, let's build a sci-fi multimedia franchise and start with NFTs and branch out from there into various verticals, which is why we started really seeking advisors that would give us access to the verticals that that an organization like us would need.
Yeah, you have quite an impressive team from the list I just read. So it seems like you got the right people. You mentioned sci-fi. It's, I'm assuming storytelling. You have different species. Maybe a little background on that, kind of maybe what the driving conflict is in the...
Yeah, sure. It all starts there, right? With story, it's like the main thing. So that's what we've been working on the longest, right? Since last summer, just coming up with what is an interesting story? Like, what are we inspired by? And getting all that kind of stuff all out in the open. And developing the storyline took a while. And it started before anything else, before the character development or anything. And so once we got the story like really rolling, the characters started to reveal themselves. So what would this collection be? We knew we didn't want to do something like a 10K PFP project, which was all of the same, like, you know, face and, you know, different, you know, glasses or whatever on them, different types of attributes. We knew we wanted to build something with different characters within a single collection that could have relationships and let the story evolve within them. So we let the story evolve the characters themselves. So they started to appear what we'd need. And, you know, I can dive into it a bit here. So Silo is the name of Earth, or used to be formerly known as Earth. And this is a thousand or so years into the future from now. So global warming has taken over, you know, eliminated human beings. They weren't able to survive on the planet. And it's mostly water now. But what survive on the planet is droids, these AI bots that we developed today and that stick around. So you can kind of think of it like the evolution of humankind, like actually playing out now, perhaps. So that led us to our first character, droids, which is like a neutral character in the storyline, at least in the beginning. They're inhabiting the planet Earth, which is now like really referred to as Silo by the hero of the story, which is called the Tavali. And they are an evolved cat-like species, like evolved feline species. They, we've come to find out, built the pyramid. They used to live on Earth. They called it Silo. That's why it's that. They are very advanced species, and they took off a thousand years or so ago from this planet. Or they took off thousands of years ago from this planet, and they ran into the third character, which is the galactic gangsters of the multiverse, the Helamon. They're a reptilian creature. They've ruled the multiverse with an iron fist, really with a weapon that causes black holes. So we start to learn a lot about like why these characters are who they are and why they have it out against each other. We also start to draw a bunch of lines between our analogies between Web 2 and Web 3 and the current infrastructure that we have in government and around the world and our society and what is to come with ideas like decentralized governance and radical concepts playing out or being worked on today. So you'll find a lot of analogies between that. I'll pause there just for if there's a clarification.
I think I'm following. This is the first I've heard of it. Sounds a little dystopian future, and it does seem like blockchain stuck around, so I can approve of it.
Totally. I appreciate that.
Right.
Why is it called Silo, though? So essentially, you know, we also thinking about we need to have this huge story. If we're going to be the Star Wars meets Metaverse, you know, or the Star Wars for today's age, for Web3 age, right? What does that look like? And if we have our sights aimed so high, we should probably come through with a solid mission, like something that actually we're passionate about, something that we want to bring to the world, right? Or that already exists in the world and we want to shed more light on. So, you know, as this story was unfolding, so did the need for the lead character, the Tavali, to enter the metaverse and leave Helamon control. So we developed the Silo network. So how did the cats way back when evolve into the Tavali? How did apes evolve into human beings, right? And this all happens, if you are familiar with the stoned ape theory, you know, walking around, picking mushrooms, picking things off the ground and eating them. If you've had those types of experiences, you understand that, you know, they are consciousness expanding in many ways. Surely, you know, most mm-hmm. people will say that. And so you start to imagine like what happens with human beings over that time. So just look into stoned ape theory. It's quite fascinating if you don't already know. So you can imagine thousands of years before that, the cats were eating those. And that is how the Tavali evolved so fast and became so radical and then left the planet. So that started to tie in. And the reason that we're passionate about that is because of just our research and understanding personally in psychedelic therapies for mental health. And that's also why we're donating, you know, a percentage of our proceeds to MAPS, because the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies is an organization that we're quite fond of and can't wait to support. And, you know, reading books like from various different people that talk about psychedelic therapies for the last like decade, I can't stop thinking about it, right? So we decided to tie that into our story.
It's an excellent cause. I think mental health is absolutely something that's mooning in the last few years. Well, the need for help for mental health anyway. I guess maybe we can pivot a little here. And if you want to talk about maybe the project and maybe the different people involved and kind of their backgrounds or something, that'd be helpful, I think, for the audience to get a feel of who's driving the project.
Yeah, I guess people can definitely introduce themselves, but I'll start out and give them a little, you know, primer there besides their name and why they're, you know, working with Silo. And then we can hear from their own words. I do want to stop and just thank everybody for showing up and being in this room. It's super cool to see everybody, like all the little characters, you know, popping up and jumping around. And I'm also seeing like we can do emojis and things like that in here, huh? So throw some up. I want to see some in this room. This is cool. Oh, nice. Is that a little touch? That's Emoji awesome. Here. Yeah. So I appreciate it.
Killed my little logo.
Yeah, can we talk about how this is crushing Twitter spaces? And like the little emojis are better. The it's just cleaner, smoother, higher quality. This is amazing.
Yeah, you know how this is crushing Twitter spaces is that none of us have been rugged yet. Like the room is still going.
You got to get dropped and re-added and like request the speaker again. And like, it's so clear.
Maybe people are getting rugged. I do see speakers like disappearing. So maybe there's a little work to be done, but yeah, we just appreciate being here for sure. So, you know, we started building this, we started with an incredible team already. As I was working, you know, I had a little company called MetaLevel with a couple of partners last year, still have it. And we were, you know, working on providing liquidity to different decentralized protocols. We were building bots and giving us edge and on various tokens. We were collecting NFTs and building a portfolio there. And that's actually what kicked us off. I was like, why do all these projects look like, you know, you hired a Fiverr artist and then spent 99% of the money on Twitter influencers? Like, there has to be a better way. Who are the businesses in this space building for tomorrow? And we wanted to be a part of that. So we reached out once we started working on the story. We've been working on with a copywriter and a story writer for many months. And then we reached out to Gurmukh, which is the lead artist, and we invited him to be an equity partner in this new venture. You know, we were passionate about artists being able to actually like make it here and not just be paid like a Fiverr artist. So he brought like extreme detail to, you know, the characters that we wanted to develop and created them all together anyways. And I knew from his work by just his portfolio and the fact that he had worked on Star Citizen creating some of the most iconic ships. And he was actually a friend of my wife's from a while back. So I was able to reach out to him and pull him on. He was really excited once he got the story like download. And then, you know, just to cover some of the advisors in, you know, just in the to save time, I guess, you know, people can definitely dive into our website, intersilo.com, and hover over the team section and you'll dox each one of them. You know, the PFP flips into a person, which is quite fun, and us poking at like the rug pulls in the space and what they're not doing. And so, you know, I reached out to individuals like Demelza Hayes, brilliant mind, incredible reports. I'd worked with her. We were both advisors to a different blockchain company, which is how I met her. And I just knew I wanted her brain, her intelligence, you know, on the team for sure. So she's been a huge help. And, you know, obviously has brilliant connections in the world of media and helped us with, you know, PR and things like that. And then, you know, there is people on the team like Dr. Scott Murr, who if we're going to be talking about psilocybin, psychedelics, and that sort of thing, we need a professional on the team that knows this space, knows mental health, and then preferably they'd also know NFTs. So like Scott Murr is the intersection precisely of those things altogether. He is an expert level at pretty much all of that. So definitely the psychedelics and mental health component, and he's probably an expert at NFTs.
My karma is probably three.
Nice. You know, we have Maddie on stage. I'll talk about him. We brought him on. He is another friend, which has, you know, obviously a stellar career being a manager to a major recording artist, G-Eazy, and still manages artists to this day, running the Rebels Group out in Los Angeles. And just, I, you know, had a chance to tell him the story and what we were building at Silo. And he was just, you know, blown away. He's like, I've been pitched a bunch of like NFT projects, or people ask me to buy them or whatever, and they're just not interesting, or I didn't see the point. But, you know, he got extremely excited about like the team and what we're actually trying to build. And he thought about entertainment verticals and where the IP can go. And I can't wait for him to elaborate further on that. So I'll pause there and we can go to another question, because I think, you know, hopefully we can get to like questions that they can answer.
Sure. I'm going to begin perusing the comments. If anyone out there has questions that they might want to ask the team, put them in the comments and I'll have an eye on them. But I think we can go with something. How about from Gurmukh the artist? I think it would be interesting to hear kind of what the inspiration is, or what goes into creating these characters, or, you know, a whole new world. I'd love to hear something from you.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, so my name's Gurmukh, and I'm a 3D concept designer working in the entertainment, industrial design, architecture, basically design across the board. My background is in architecture, so I started out working in that industry and then transitioned my career into concept design. And as was mentioned earlier, I was a spaceship designer on Star Citizen. I know there's probably in the crypto space, it's actually really fun to meet a bunch of people, because most people don't know about Star Citizen. It's still a pretty, I guess, kind of considered underground game. But in the crypto space, a lot of people actually do know. Oh, can you guys still hear me? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. And so if any of you out there are Star Citizen fans, I designed the Carrick, the Vanguard, let's see, I think the Archimedes, so a couple ships in the game. But anyways, back to your question about what goes into this and in creating the art and the characters. You know, I guess my expertise and also maybe my downfall is I just love bringing ideas to life in a way that the audience can recognize. So it's like, how do I tie in real world aspects into fictional characters or far out designs? And the way that I've been successful with it in my career and in my own design firm that I have and the work that I do for a living is high levels of detail and bringing reality, bringing the human touch to the design elements. And so it does add a lot of time and effort and countless hours at the computer just working away. But I think it definitely helps people get excited about the work. They can feel, or they can imagine themselves as a character. And the way for me to do that is to work in 3D softwares. So I don't necessarily draw by hand too much or sketch too much or paint. It's all 3D CAD engineering softwares. So a program called Moment of Inspiration. I do a lot of my hard surface design work. ZBrush is a digital sculpting tool where I do a lot of like kind of the more natural soft character type of design work. And then Maya, which is an Autodesk software, a rendering engine called KeyShot. And so it's a lot of just like almost building these things in 3D as if I'm building them for the real world, except for they're fictional. They live in the computer. And so it's almost like a perfect marriage of the design fits. These designs kind of fit perfect for a metaverse type application because it's almost like I'm treating them as they're real, even though they're digital and fictional designs.
They're real to you.
Yeah, they're real to me. And I hope that, and I think it is what brings a lot of success to the designs is that the audience really relates to it and understands like, oh yeah, I get like how these things are brought together, how I could imagine this being walking around our actual, you know, planet Earth or our real world. And even though they know they're fictional, it's easy to get lost in the idea of like how they could be realistic.
Is there anything else maybe from an art sense or an art style that, because we talked about maybe the three species or the three races, is there any kind of other stylistic points? I don't know if Silo has kind of artwork or planets or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, well, you know, we're at the beginning of this whole universe that we're trying to create. And we have ideas into the future of vehicles and other types of elements that will come together to create our whole universe. So we're starting with these three characters. And then my expertise is actually when I did work on Star Citizen for 2.5 years and designed a bunch of ships for the game, my career kind of transitioned from architecture more into hard surface vehicles, concept design and product design on the more man-made side. And so, you know, coming down the line and into the future is going to be a lot of spaceships. How can these characters, you know, move around, interact in metaverse applications? How can they explore other parts of the universe or other parts of the story that we're trying to create? And so for now, you know, we started with these three characters, the Tavali. And from an art point of view, they're my most headache. They have a lot of fur. Fur is not fun to work with in 3D.
Super you gave me an idea I wanted to expand upon.
Sure.
It's cool. So I just saw that your avatar, your image disappeared, but you're still talking. So that's good. It's just okay. That's the visual glitch there. The metaverse component, right? I just wanted to pick up on like anybody that's familiar, anybody jumping into this room is probably like, oh, this is interesting. Okay, an NFT project. Let me hear more about this. Hopefully, right? So what are we doing and what are we building? We're building three-dimensional avatars that can be utilized in metaverse platforms and various augmented reality platforms, right? And we have partners in mind in the augmented reality platform space and have already made inroads there, but we already do have a partner in the metaverse space. And that's an organization called Network. And it's spelled a little funky. It's netvrk.co if you want to go to their website. If you do go to their website, netvrk.co, you'll see a featured video, which is actually of another collection called Angry Ape Army. And we're kind of like in the same pipeline as Angry Ape Army. So they've developed those out fully. They fully rigged those and they're including them in their different play to earn games and their different their metaverse platform. So being able to plug and play these types of NFTs that are being built with Unreal Engine in these Unreal Engine environments is super fascinating to us because it's high detail, like high polygon count, realistic looking things that you can use in a metaverse that doesn't look like it is Minecraft, right? And that isn't to say we won't be able to utilize our NFTs across multiple metaverse platforms, including voxel ones, so in those boxy relationships. But also we're just excited about, you know, who's building the metaverse of, you know, the way we're really going to want to experience it. And Network is one of those companies. So that's what you made me think of. What do we got, T-Crown?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think we've heard from Demelza, have we?
I don't think
so. Got to get some input there. What attracted you to the project, Demelza? And what kind of vision do you have for it? Is it uniform across you or?
Well, definitely. I mean, no, thanks a lot for having me on this AMA. Actually, I was on an Ask Me Anything, but not one of the voice ones last week on this subreddit. Basically, so Solve, you know, showed me these awesome characters, and you know, he mentioned that he had like a really like one of the top artists working on these characters, and actually at the time, you know, I didn't really understand how difficult it was to, you know, basically build characters in a metaverse that had a high polygon count. But then, you know, over time I realized, like, when I looked at all the NFT articles that were coming across Cointelegraph, it was like Meebits and CryptoKitties and CryptoPunks and Bored Ape Yachts, and like really kind of, I mean, characters that didn't require, you know, maybe as much rendering for, you know, like a computer to process when viewing in a metaverse as, you know, I mean, it was basically kind of more simple drawings. And of course, they're still popular, but I think it's really cool that we're going to have really futuristic, realistic metaverses that we can play in. And you know, in those, I mean, well, you know, maybe do more than play, actually, you know, work and even get, you know, possibly, you know, health treatments and really just live in the metaverse. So I think it's really cool that we're actually going to be able to build those characters. And I think the artwork of Gurmukh, I mean, it just blew me away. Like, I was telling the team, I was like, you know, like Psilocybin, or how do you pronounce it? It's like
Psilocybin. That's what where all the confusion comes from, right? Yeah, I mean, like, I'll admit, most people say psilocybin. I've heard, you know, I've heard scientists say psilocybin and psilocybin. It depends on what part of your world you're in, what video you're watching. So I think that, like, we pronounce our project Silo, it makes more sense to pronounce it that way, we think. But I mean, we don't like bat an eye when someone says Silo either.
Okay, and then the full word is like
psilocybin.
Psilocybin. Okay, so psilocybin, is not. It's like it's not supposed to be like an addictive medicine, you know. But the artwork of Gurmukh is so addictive. I just watch a couple characters, and then I just want to, you know, watch, you know, see all of them. And I love to watch him like actually designing in the design process. It's really intricate. It's a very involved process. And I also, you know, just like the way that the artwork looks on the Brave browser and everything. I just think it looks fantastic. So I really love the artwork, but I mean, the thing that got me interested originally before I even saw the artwork was the idea that this is an alternative medicine in an area where there hasn't been a lot of research due to, you know, regulations and all sorts of kind of like groupthink that has like stopped people from researching natural remedies. And like, actually I was just talking to Solve and the team, you know, like basically, so my dad was like a veteran, and he was prescribed like heavy pharmaceutical drugs. And I know that he didn't like taking them. I mean, he basically just kind of stopped. I mean, he didn't want to take any of the painkillers because they were addictive and stuff like that. And a lot of his friends ended up getting really heavily addicted to painkillers. So, you know, and he's still friends with those people, but like, they're kind of like vegetables. And I mean, I think that what he did was he just went back to, you know, what he did before he went to Vietnam, which was basically like, you know, cannabis. And he can kind of self-medicate with cannabis, but like, there hasn't really been that much research. I mean, there's probably been some research, but there hasn't been that like much mainstream information about, you know, how kind of, you know, mushrooms can help treat, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome and, you know, various like mental, you know, issues and stuff like that, like just revolving from, you know, stress. So I really think that it's an interesting research area. I like how Solve's whole team has, you know, Dr. Owen Muir involved and like basically like donating part of it to research. I also like how, you know, today they actually made a collaboration with this prescription card called the Silo prescription savings card.
And yeah, we should riff on that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go for it.
No, you're right. I appreciate you bringing it up. That's awesome. It's like, you know, it did just happen today, and we actually just got it like added to the website too. So I think, yeah, this is probably a good time to let, you know, Dr. Scott Murr talk about that. I think it would be awesome.
Sure. So, hi. I'm trained as a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist. And if you're lucky, you can hear my children screaming in the background. Both Solve and I have young kids. And I do work with artificial intelligence around regulatory compliance with psychedelic medicine. So my work with Mind Medicine is all around developing the AI to enable us to scale these medicines out safely. And you know, part of that process is, look, it's going to be a while, right? Right. These clinical trials take a long time. We need to make sure that we're protecting vulnerable people and bringing these things to market in a way that's therapeutic and helpful, not just, potent for uses that aren't medical, because we're bringing these to populations who are really suffering. Like Dr. DeMelza mentioned, her father with post-traumatic stress disorder, really serious problems that people face and need every amount of research and data behind, so that doctors like myself can actually know what to say. Now, while we're waiting for that, it turns out that getting access to any mental health care whatsoever is a huge cluster catastrophe, right? Especially, even young, healthy people in this room, I'll imagine. Like, Reddit's probably not full of people who are like 75 and with kidney failure, but like, go to the doctor and have a problem and need to get a medicine, and you go to the pharmacy and you probably, I didn't get insurance because it's XYZ, and it's a gazillion dollars. Right. And so, like, I'm a doctor. I care about stuff that works, and I care about my patients being able to get access to it. And so one of the things that we did is, for our community, we built a drug discount program in collaboration with some like heavy hitters in pharmacy benefit manager land. This is some like deep shit, but we basically took pharmacy wholesale cost and made it added as little as is humanly possible. It's literally $2 above what the pharmacy pays. As opposed to the 300 or more above what the pharmacy pays, which is generally what happens when you get a prescription. So if you need something for blood pressure or an antibiotic, whatever it happens to be, with the Silo Project, you're going to be able to mint a discount card that is basically built to make those treatments for whatever the problem may be, psychological, psychiatric, general, medical, whatever, as cheap as possible. It's often less expensive than your copay, even if you have insurance, because the markup on these things is ginormous. And so, we're donating to the future of healthcare to get more effective medicines that are hopefully safer and more powerful. But if people need help now, we're here for that too, bringing utility that, to my knowledge, is a first in the field. Cost plus pricing like Mark Cuban, but with an NFT project, and it's pretty nifty, I thought.
Yeah, it's something we can give back to our holders. And I think Dr. Scott Mears is correct there. It's a Web3 first, right? Certainly we have not seen this before in NFT space. So we're really excited to be able to roll that out. And the press release came out today. It's the additional information is on our website already. So you can just go to EnterSilo.com, scroll down and check out, that additional copy on there. And then also while you're there, just check out the roadmap, because we've included like when that's actually going to go down. And then of course, if that's your first time there, hover over the team as well, just as a reminder. T-Crown.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking at the comments. We've gotten a few good questions. The questions are not flooding in as I'd hoped. So if you have them out there, ask them. I think there's a good amount of interest around. I think people are maybe want a little clarification or maybe a little more detail with the partnership with Netverk and how that is going to come into play in the future.
Yeah, cool. We partnered with them a little while back. We've done an AMA with them. It's wonderful. Dan, the CEO, is great. He's been working with us like at each step of our, growth. And the way that that's going to work out is, I recommend anybody go there and look at their roadmap, because as they're rolling these things out, our NFTs are already going to be compatible with their metaverse, their world, if you will. And so that's what's so fascinating about what they're building, is they're not just like building this closed system and then saying, being like a really slow process. They're partnering with a bunch of different NFT projects that make a lot of sense, right? And are compatible and just plug and play sort of environments. So we don't have a silo. We don't have to build a game, right? We just have to build and focus on our avatars, right? And so they can build the game environment. They can build the metaverse. They can be the ones that execute expertise in Unreal Engine and beyond. And then any of the NFT projects that are compatible with or high polygon count or can be built really easily into Unreal Engine or with, like ours can just slide right in and become, you know, a partner with them fairly easy. So that's what makes us most excited about that, is they're building basic play-to-earn games. So what I mean by basic is definitely not boring, but the typical is probably a better word. So, you know, racing and role-playing and a first-person shooter style games are being built already by them. And then these NFTs just plug and play there. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, we got a kind of, this is a little left field one I didn't even think about. Someone asked if you have any kind of plans for maybe a native token or anything down the road.
Yeah. That one comes up a lot because, you know, a lot of these projects are looking to build their own environment. We do have, you know, we have zero plans that are public about doing anything of the sort, right? And, you know, as an American company, we have to lead there. We will be looking at what makes sense for our community and what makes sense for the environments that we're interacting with, and if it makes sense to have a token and what kind of utility that token will specifically have that goes above and beyond what we're already able to deliver with our NFTs and in the environments that we're already in. So it could certainly make sense in the future. And I love like staking NFTs and doing things like ISPOs, initial stake pool offerings with an NFT to earn the native token instead of purchasing it. Those types of things really excite me and things I've been involved in. So I guess that I'm probably leaking enough information for you to draw your own conclusions at this point. But there is another, you know, token ecosystem that is being created by right now by another NFT platform. Which we might end up adopting that instead. So, you know, either way, we plan on being heavily involved with the technology surrounding that as it unfolds.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it is a tricky field to navigate, of course, token offerings. Someone asked about the roadmap. They said 0.7, and they said that I guess they're implying there may be mentions of 2D avatars and 0.7 talks about 3D. I didn't see any 2D avatars. Are there any?
Yeah, I mean, so what you're looking at, you know, when you first mint these things, obviously you're looking at an image, you know, and that could be your avatar representation on this platform, on Twitter, on what have you. And on when you're looking at it on OpenSea or other marketplace places, you will see that it's a two-dimensional image. But really what we're building is three-dimensional avatars that are going to be fully rigged and allow people to utilize them in real augmented reality platforms and real metaverse platforms. And anything that unfolds in those places, you'll be able to take these and we'll be continuously adding, you know, utility surrounding that as technology develops as well with these characters. So we're just going to ride along with that. So yeah, I mean, it's not like just a normal PFP collection. It is a three-dimensional avatar collection.
Gotcha. What do you think the real potential is for Silo, like the big picture?
Yeah, it's true. I almost want to let, you know, Maddie riff on entertainment verticals and what's like possible in the IP world from his perspective. You know, he's been in the industry for a long time now, so he's seen a lot more in the entertainment industry than I have. Yeah, that's for sure. And you know, I would love to, you know, have his advice here or have him just speak on this, because I certainly have my own desires. And you know, I can just say, imagine Star Wars being built today and then having the success that Star Wars had. What would that look like in 10 years? That's where we plan on being. So, but I'll let him go into more detail.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Saul talked about at the beginning, you know, we've all been exposed and been pitched and seen a ton of, you know, just PFP algorithm based, you know, NFT projects. But what attracted me to Silo was just how deeply ingrained the lore and the narrative is with the character design, with the overall story as a whole, with components into our real world based on how the droids are based on AI that we've developed, and, you know, humans running themselves off the planet with global warming, and then the Tivoli building the pyramids. So it's cool because it's established a sci-fi lore that really goes within and beyond our world and, you know, create some questions and answer some questions that I just found to be really exciting. And And just really cool. So yeah, some of the things we've been exploring and talking about is doing like a graphic novel. I know Solve has even explored developing some AR components to that, that play in with the NFTs and, you know, interact with the graphic novel in that way. And we've also been talking with WME, CAA, UTA, and Range Media to bring on other script developers to help turn this into like a TV show or a movie and just see what other logical IP extensions could result from, you know, our really fleshed out lore. And as Solve said, we look at ourselves as a sci-fi franchise. We look at ourselves here for the long haul. That's part of the reason why we have such experienced advisors on board, you know, across the board with Dr. Mirror and Demelda Hayes and just everybody involved. So, you know, and that's why we're all doxed on our website. So, you know, we're building a community and, you know, hopefully all of y'all can also, you know, become a part of it.
Hey, Mehdi, would you be in okay with like explaining like just what your experience was with GEasy and how you kind of worked to transform GEasy?
Yeah, for sure. So I started working with GEasy about 13-14 years ago. And, you know, we were just kind of doing glorified road trips and sleeping on friends' floors. And, you know, at one point he and I got in a fight over a bag of chips because we couldn't afford it. And, you know, he and I basically maxed our credit cards out together, building his career from the ground up, you know, emailing blogs, like I said, staying at friends' houses, playing coffee shops, you know, metal house parties, like anywhere we could play. And we just kept building it. We even, you know, had opening slot on Warp Vans Warp Tour back when that was still a national tour. So, you know, building a brand from the ground up and, you know, just also, again, exploring logical brand extensions. You know, once G and I kind of worked together on his rebrand when he had like the slick back hair, and then that kind of turned into us developing a pomade and a and like a barber trailer that we bring on tour on his tours and, you know, just other stuff like that. Or we see like his favorite bar in New Orleans and, you know, we license their logo from them to make them some more money. And it ties in with his kind of G-Eazy universe was, you know, something I like doing and, you know, something I wanted to bring to the Silo project.
Brilliant. Yeah, thanks for covering that. I really appreciate it. What else we got? Oh, actually, you know what I can say is, we today, like, so you, I don't know if you could tell in our voices, but we are pretty exhausted and we have been working extremely hard, you know, to get the public mint out today, which is live right now. And you can go to intersilo.com and the mint is going ongoing right now. It's completely live. Our mint list or white list happened yesterday and went successfully. So jump in there, check out our Discord. You know, there's 17,000 or something people in the Discord, you know, pretty active chat in there. So I just wanted to mention that. Please intersilo.com and the mint is actually live right now and started today. Also, if you're a Brave browser user, you probably saw our full homepage takeover with our beautiful art just taking over the entire, like every time you open a new tab. So yeah, so hopefully you guys saw that. If you did, do some little emojis so we can, it's like holding up a lighter, I guess.
Nice. I see it.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Yeah, I don't know if, I don't want to get you guys to answer anything that, you know, is careful topic, but I was even curious and someone asked a little bit, you know, kind of DAOs are popular topics right now. And someone asked a question kind of about, you know, will maybe the NFT holders have any kind of, you know, maybe not exactly a DAO, but some kind of say or voice in the direction.
Yeah, I love that. So we're super community focused first and foremost. You know, we ask our community questions like, what do you guys think about this or this? You know, we definitely have things in our roadmap that perhaps like, you know, one we can bump up before another one or something because the community is like really passionate about it. One of the things I'm just passionate about and I keep wanting to bring up and talk about in the community is creating, you know, we're working on us the story, right? So we want that to be a graphic novel, but not just a graphic novel. We actually want to like shake things up and create an augmented reality graphic novel where the characters will stand up and you can wave your phone over it and things come alive, you know, actually there in the story. Why I think that's fascinating is because I think children will be drawn to that more and maybe could even get them further back into books, you know, because they start to veer. I have a 13-year-old. So, you know, it totally makes sense to me. And I hope the community is passionate about that. So not necessarily a DAO, but definitely we're community minded. We're Web3 native company. So we put community first. And we think about that heavily. Doesn't mean a DAO is out of the question. I think the way that we're thinking about DAOs right now is working with them as collectors. But, you know, I could certainly see a big part of this organization being a DAO. But there's also the need, especially when you're young, to, as a company, to have, you know, appointed, you know, system that actually can really get stuff done. And I'm not saying DAOs can't, but I'm saying that DAOs are struggling with that currently. And we just need to evolve this space a little bit further before we just like hand off the keys to absolutely anyone, you know, but I think that it'll come into play for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, guys, keep your questions coming. I'm reading them. I'm sorting them by new. I'm reading them. Someone asked that they, I guess they minted some silos and they're curious when the characters are going to reveal.
Now that is a question that we've been getting a lot today. So
when reveal?
Yeah, so the, you know, we have, I think, well, you guys aren't happy with the placeholder image on OpenSea. I mean, it looks really cool. There's like a neon, you know, GIF going on there. So if you haven't seen that, check it out. Just kidding though. We are looking to reveal within 7 days. So lots of, you know, if you have a Fiverr artist do everything and like you're pretty comfortable with just the way that it is and pretty basic illustration, you know, it makes sense to just reveal immediately. But when you have the level of detail that we have and we're going through these, Gurmukh is super passionate about really making sure that even though there are rare characters, he wants like every single character to be something that each holder is proud of. Like this just looks awesome, right? And not like, I wish I had that one instead. So, you know, he spent an incredible amount of time on the detail. And so, you know, he is definitely detailing each one and just going to the extreme, really. So we actually just want to give them the time to pull that off. And, you know, I think that 7 days is absolutely acceptable for something that you're going to hold on to and spend money on and appreciate.
Yeah, so I'll jump in real quick too. You know, once we release, like, you know, it's there and it will live on forever. And my perfectionist side and the designer side of me just really wants everything to be as perfect as possible. And creating 8,888 unique images is quite the daunting task, but you know, it's just honestly the final touches are being put in place and just making sure that that everything is as perfect as I can help it to be. And to speak on, you know, not necessarily other projects by name, but one of my most disappointing things when images are revealed on some of the NFTs that I've bought is
come on.
Yeah, so some of the images that I bought, you know, you're like so excited for reveal, and then you're like, wah, 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 I can't believe I got this one. I wish I would have got that. So that's one of my biggest passions for this project is just to like, I really think that even if you get some of the classes that are a bit lower in the collection are a lot more of them, like the detail, the design, the props and additional things that they have are super cool. And so I, you know, some of my favorite are like the droid security or the droid narrow intelligence, which are pretty popular in the collection. There's more of them, but like they have my avatar, I don't know if it's showing, is a droid narrow intelligence, and there's plenty of them, but they're some of my favorites in the collection. So for anybody that I know, we're all excited to see the art, and I'm excited to get the art out there. Just a little patience, you know, we'll be definitely revealing by this time next week, you will see the image. So, and they'll be beautiful, and I can't wait to show everybody.
Your artwork is showing. And actually, I'm like, oh, okay, we can, I updated mine into like a character on this call, but it didn't upload, I don't think, at least not for me. So yeah, and I saw yours and I was like, oh, that is the way to do that for sure. So yeah, I appreciate it. Demelza, I can't see who's still speaking because some of the, I think there's not enough room for so many speakers, but Demelza, you're still here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, I think like people might be interested in just, so you were doing an AMA a few days ago here on Reddit, on this exact subreddit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Was that, how did that happen? And was that, how was that experience?
You know, I was at Bitcoin Miami and I went up to the Exodus booth. And when I was there, I started talking to the person at the booth. And he said, oh, actually, I don't work for Exodus. I'm just sitting here. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he was like, but I am a mod at our cryptocurrency.
JW.
Yeah. And then he was like, do you want to come and do an AMA? And I was like, sure. And then like a couple days before, he was like, okay, you have to send your flare and you have to you have to choose a flare and make a post and do a title and do a verification. And then the verification has to be done like this. And then it was like, I was like, well, I don't need a flare. Cause I haven't been like, honestly, I think these spaces, like these AMAs and like trying to get people back talking together and asking questions. I think it's really, for me, it really brought me back to Reddit because I had been on like, you know, subreddit, like for Bitcoin, like back in like, I don't know, 2014, stuff like that. Like I was on Reddit really active, and even the r/cryptocurrency, I was here, you know, 2016 posted and stuff like that, 2017. And then I don't know. I don't know why. I used to love Reddit back in the day. Like that's how I found out about almost everything that changed my life, like Austrian economics and like keto low carb diets and like crypto, like Bitcoin, stuff like that. So, but then I just kind of like, I don't know, I started going to other platforms, but like that, I mean, the last couple weeks and stuff, like I've also listened to other people's AMAs here. So for me, I really enjoy the AMA structure. I think it's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, cool. I was just curious about that myself because I was like reading through it when you posted it. T-Crown, do we have more questions from the crowd?
There's not a ton, but I have kind of a three-pronged question here. So I'll start with the beginning of it.
That's
awesome.
That's pretty hardcore.
Hey, and we're going to need like a body and then like a three-prong response and like a conclusion. This is an essay. So, no, I'm just kidding. So someone asked, and I'm curious about this too, listening now, is are the drops going to be completely random and kind of like in retrospect to rarity and kind of aspects and things like that?
Yeah, totally. We kind of dove it. So I'm assuming that was only one prong, right?
Yes, first prong. I'll let you do that one, then I'll hit you with the other ones.
So yeah, certainly. And you know, this is something that we had fun with and we're taking seriously. So all of these are randomly generated, right? Well, we create the artwork, or Grimoire creates the artwork, and there's 300 traits, you know? And then we do, like, once we get these together, run it through an algorithm as much as possible to randomize everything. But like I said, Grimoire's making sure everything just looks incredible in general. But we are going to randomize all this stuff. And then the entire collection is randomized, and you're minting a random NFT, not the team or anybody. We don't know what those are going to look like at all. And then uploading this to IPFS in a randomized way. And then if the team, so the team decided to hold on to 88 as a team, like from the collection for like our company vault, right? And then we also have a marketing budget of NFTs as well, with collaborators and also like team members that, you know, wanted to jump on and do work and were just wanted to be paid in NFTs. Like, that might sound crazy to some people, but we certainly experienced it. So like those go to that as well. And so with that being said, you're getting a completely random item. And what's really fun is this isn't just one kind of, it's kind of like three collections in one, right? There's 4,444 droids with five different factions inside of those droids with a bunch of different rarity and a bunch of traits. And then you also have Tavali. Let's actually go to the next rare, which would be, let's go to Helamon, where you have 3,333 of the Helamon, and they also have their own factions and their own unique traits, and all that all get randomized as well. And then the Tavali, the hero of our story, is more rare in the entire collection overall. There's 1,111 of those, and then they have their own factions and unique traits, right? So within each like micro collection is more rarity, but plenty of rarity to go around all throughout the entire collection. It's quite fun. Now, what happens if the team mints and you know, one of our mints is in the 88 is a one of one? Well, that's something that we don't want to end up to happen, but it can surely happen. We could end up with more than one of one, you know, when you're minting something at random. So those are going to be giveaways to our community, right? So you can kind of think of the most value that someone might see from an NFT, generally speaking with the term value, is, you know, from a really, really rare one or a one of one. And so we want the community to have that. The team won't be holding on to any one of ones at all if we get them. We're definitely giving those away in giveaways in our community, you know, as soon as we get them on the schedule.
That's nice. And I just wanted to clarify, you said, so 88, because you mentioned 88 of the 8,888, that's only 1% was held for the team. So then you also said something about marketing. Is that, are those combined in that 88 or is that in addition?
No, it's an addition. Like 88 is for the team to hold on to. And then we are creating long, we want to be able to spend NFTs, right? And show other organizations and sometimes Web2 companies and agencies that are just getting into this. Well, we've been on the phone call, our phone calls for the last several weeks with, like Maddie mentioned, that's top four and several other agencies in the world that are major talent agencies. Some of them, you know, the people they manage, the talent that they manage are interested in NFTs and they want some NFTs. So it's cool for us to be like, we would love to work with them. What's their ZeroX address? Let us send them some NFTs. So we have 500 allocated for that over time that we're going to be spending to create more and more partnerships and just to excite and delight, you know, some of our future partners in both metaverse and also just in spaces that people don't even understand this technology. We want to force them an NFT on them to make it be their first NFT and get them on board.
Very cool. You kind of got the last part of the prong. So the middle part, someone asked about, so there's 8,888 and how many of those currently are public and how many are not public yet?
Oh, I don't. Yeah. So the question is none are public. We're in public. You can certainly hear this right now and none of them have been revealed.
So there's mystery to be to come is what you're saying.
Totally. Yeah. It's a mystery to us too. Like, you know,
I gotcha. Here's a good question that I like. What are your guys' favorite what's your favorite species or what's maybe, your favorite character? You know what I mean? Like what it can, maybe each one of you could share. What's your favorite?
Well, I'll start since I love hogging the microphone. Mm-hmm.
Go for it. It's awesome.
So, you know, obviously the Tavali is the hero. It's what I've thought about the most. It's really exciting. So I'm just going to be real lame and go with the most rare one and the hero of the story, the Tavali. I find it really exciting. I know that it was really probably Gurmukh's least favorite since it was so challenging to develop, which maybe makes me like it more for some weird reason. But I think that character is just super exciting. And actually the one that enters the silo network, you know, and I think I see myself a lot in the Tavali.
Here, I'll go next. So as a designer on the project, I've collaborated with a couple other artists. We have one artist named Jared Fischler who he helped us do some early sculpting character work on the Helamon. So he really brought the face to life. And he also did the base sculpt for the Tavali. But the droids are like my babies in this collection. And they're the ones that I've pretty much handcrafted myself. There's 4,444 of them. So it's half the collection are droids. And the one that you can see in my avatar here, it's a droid Narrow Intelligence, which I just finished a couple days ago, and I was sitting with my fiance. She was just sitting behind me while I work. This is how the last 6 months of our life have been. We kind of watch a show together while I'm working, and she's sitting behind. And I'm like, sorry, honey, that's all the time I have for you. But I was like, I was sitting there talking with her, and I was like, man, what else can I do to make these droids like come to life, be more interesting? And she's like, what if one of the arms fell off? Because my shoulder has been killing me for 6 months, just sitting at the computer working away. And she's like, you know, it represents you, represents your pain you're going through while making this project. And so it's just kind of fun, like bringing my personal touch into the art, and kind of having these characters, I don't know, represents aspect of our different aspects of our life. And then also like those, I definitely like I hand built from scratch every single piece on there. Every single piece on every droid is made by myself. So I think it's a little bit more personal choice just because those have been my like a huge part of me going into this project. But to be honest, anytime I finish a new character, I fall in love with that character. So droids, but then I liked all of them. So
so awesome. Yes. Who's next?
I'll go next. So so there was a day when, you know, we were all asked, okay, so what do you want your picture on the website to look like? And I didn't answer it quickly enough. So I was assigned a droid. Like that's the, I was just like, okay, you're a droid now. And actually I really love mine. So I kind of want to agree with Gurmukh just because that's my, you know, avatar on the Silo website. However, I personally like the look of the Tavali more. I just think that they look, they're just beastish. Like they just look so amazing. And then watching Gurmukh do the hair and the outfits and just how precise everything is, it is really cool. So I'm going to answer this question by saying that I'm going to go with Tavali as being what I think are the prettiest ones. But since I'm a droid, I'm going to go with droid.
Awesome. I'm curious. Maddie has never told me this, so I want to know what he's up to.
Damn, I don't want to be cliche, but I just feel like the Tavali are it though. Like, I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna play into it, but like they're the most complex. I feel like their lore is more, you know, developed, and you know, the Helamon are just, I mean, ugly in a great way. No diss to Gurmukh, but like, you know, like I don't know. The Tavali are just special in like a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, it's hard not to be connected to the Tavali. I mean, they really represent Web3 in our story, right? They represent the new like crypto kind of person. And, you know, the droids represent, you know, humans as we have been, right? The evolution of humankind. And then the Helamon represent something that we probably don't like too much, right? Which is current infrastructure, the Federal Reserve, the, you know, the government, right? Like the reptilian culture that's been running the multiverse for thousands and thousands of years and banishes the Tavali, you know, when they first leave Silo and run into them, they banish them to another planet, which is how they develop this really cool technology that allows them to get around the Tavali without them seeing them. So I'm, you know, getting into the story, it's hard not to like just start diving down into the rabbit hole of the story itself because it's deep, and we can't wait till it unfolds more, especially with like the history of the Tavali and such being tied to the pyramids.
I feel like there's also an element of the Tavali almost being the most human in a way too, and like I feel like the droids, I forgot what that term is called, but like when it's something that like is human-esque, obviously in their shape, but isn't, so it kind of like throws you off. And then, you know, obviously the Helamon are just like just monsters, and like their proportions and silhouette is just much different. So I feel like even the facial features of the Tavali lead you to kind of like connect with them the most too.
I mean, I think I have to speak up for the monsters for a minute.
I was going to if no one did.
Who would?
My I'm a psychiatrist, and one of my favorite books is Frankenstein. And Frankenstein is the first science fiction book, which is ties in quite nicely with this. And the monster in that story and the monsters kind of in this story are telling ourselves something important about ourselves. And you know, the monster in Frankenstein, he's not monstrous because of of reasons we can't understand. He's monstrous because of deeply understandable reasons. And similarly with the Helamon, like no one's going to love them. Lasers out your eyes and your reptilian, and that sets you apart. And so we wanted to do a little homage in this series to those of us who do feel apart, and who do feel at times, you know, grim. And this is kind of, there's an arc, right? Because the Illumon are kind of us at our worst. The droids are, you know, us trying to struggle from this, you know, the bitterness of the Illumon to the striving of the T'Vali. And the T'Vali are when we get there and we can be, you know, our best selves. But you know, I think to speak up for the villains, like sometimes you're pissed off and you want to break stuff because things are awful. And having them around, I think, you know, helps the story move forward and also helps us kind of deal with the stuff that we just want to fucking crush all day long because it's been crushing us for so long. And having that be part of the story and not apart from it mattered.
Okay.
I was just going to say, because I like the way they look, it's not really as in-depth as that beautiful answer, but I think they look cool. So I'm going to go with the Gilamon.
Nice. Yeah, we've thought about them, I think, just more so, you know. They've been in our life every day for many, many months now.
Yeah. Is there anything else you guys wanted to share, maybe specifically about the Mint or where we can find you or anything like that? Because the questions have kind of dried up, so yeah. It's on us now.
Well, hopefully that's because we did an insane job with our website and really fleshing it out, you know, properly. So you can look, you know, through everything. Also on this call, I think we've answered just a ton of the questions. You know, one thing that comes to mind right away is just like really like diving into our roadmap. You know, look at the website intersilo.com. Check it out. You know, at Twitter we're at SiloNFT. We will be hanging out here on Reddit. And so just get a hold of us. You know, unfortunately my account's just like old and only talked about Bitcoin too, but you know, I'm here, I'm lurking. So yeah, I'm ready. You can talk to me. So yeah, we're just super excited to bring this project to life. You know, we are excited at the potential of this project and it being like this massive, you know, endeavor and this massive deal in the entertainment industry as well as Web3. So, you know, we're just really excited about that. Dive into our roadmap, look at what we're developing. We want to develop these or deliver these things on the roadmap for our holders so people can just see and experience utility and see what it's actually like when you get to do things with your NFTs. You know, I'm a big fan of just straight up art NFTs as well, but that's not just what we're building here. So we appreciate everybody that's along for the ride. And we certainly appreciate you guys and Reddit for this time to jump up here and experience the Twitter space killer. So thank you so much.
I just wanted to add to just a little bit on the art side and a little bit of my passion for this project is, you know, I guess we all kind of are talking more and more about the metaverse and what that is and what that can become. And, you know, with NFTs and crypto spaces, you know, to me, it's all a fairly new space that's like in its infancy and starting to grow. And it's like, I think one of the big things that we wanted to tackle was quality and how do we like raise the bar for the space? How do we start pushing the quality factor, the fidelity, the high poly count, the fun aspects of what the metaverse can become. And it's definitely a big challenge that we've decided to take on. But, you know, you've got to start somewhere. And so we decided, like, when we did this project, we're like, okay, for one, we're not going to make this easy on ourselves. But, like, I think one of our missions that we maybe not talk too much about is just, like, we want to raise the bar for the whole space around us so that now when new projects come in, it's not, you know, so many more 8-bit pixel images. It's more like, okay, how do we make this, bring entertainment to it? How do we bring story? How do we bring a quality? How do we bring high fidelity designs in 3D characters and stuff like that? So I think it's one of the things we set out to accomplish, and we're definitely doing it, and we're excited for anybody who believes in us and wants to be a part of shaping what the future metaverse can be for all of us.
Totally. I'll adjust just one more thing if that's okay. And that's, I'm seeing some questions now as I'm cruising through here. And I just like wanted everybody to know that we didn't just hear about NFTs. Like, you know, we didn't hear about NFTs yesterday. We didn't just get here. We're nerds. We're here. We've been builders. We enjoy this space. We are, you know, used to sitting in an office, like doing what they call Lego blocking in DeFi, building these various strategies for yield farming and liquidity providing, and, you know, diving into token utility and token wrapping on various blockchains. We love taking something and skipping it several blockchains over and wrapped situations to provide things in places that give us more yield or earn. And those are the types of things that we think about. So you can imagine that we're going to apply those things to our organization and to the utility and the tokens that we're building, tokens being the non-fungible token, you know. So you have artwork, you have the three-dimensional avatars, you have plenty of utility that we already brought, even crossing into the real world, expanding on metaverse utility in the real world. Right now, you can have a NFT with a number that gives you a, you know, a sale or a discount on your RX. Like, who has done that yet? That's just scratching the surface for us. We also want to go into the technical side and allow you to use these across multiple blockchains, wherever it makes the most sense for microtransactions inside of different play to earn environments and different metaverse platforms. We don't know who's going to be the winner, right, in the space. We want to build an avatar that's able to be used wherever those winners are. And so we're paying attention to that. We didn't push all of our chips into one place. So we're excited to be here and just excited to be builders in this space. And this is what we're passionate about. We're not going away.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing. I am a physician, but I'm also a crypto founder. And if people, you know, can't be degens and get some, you know, health insurance in the process, like, what's the point of flipping NFTs, man? So I think, like, you know, Salt's point's well taken. When you're investing in an NFT, and it is, you know, quote unquote, an investment, though not in any sort of SEC regulated way. In no way do we think that right? But like, you want to make sure the team isn't bullshit and like they know what they're doing. And like, you just can't do, like, this would be the most pointlessly difficult rug pull of all time with that level of polygon count. You know, and on top of it, like, you know, I actually used the discount card to go get my scripts the other day. It was less than my copay. And I have ADHD, so I was getting that medicine for that and Wellbutrin. And I asked the pharmacist, you know, because you can do this at CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, like, it's not some esoteric mail order thing. And my bill was, I think, like $36 for my three meds. I'm like, what would this have been? He's like, $800. I'm like, Jesus Christ. What? Because I'm so used to getting it, like, you know, with insurance through my wife or whatever. And one of the problem is, if you want to, like, you know, peace out from your job and just yield farm and flip NFTs all day, you can, until you have to deal with, like, you know, BS like health insurance. And so we were actually pretty serious about solving that problem. Like, not only do we want to lean into making products for our degen friends and selves, but we want to make it possible to, like, kick back and not have to worry about, you know, what if you get arthritis or something. Utility matters, Web3 matters, and we're here in it for the long haul to make it possible to make this your life and not have to have some bullshit day job also, not for nothing.
Beautiful. If anyone else has any closing thoughts, we can get them out of the way. And if not, can wrap it up.
Cool. I mean, my closing thoughts are the same. You know, thank you guys for being here. We worked really, really hard on this. And, you know, we all have families. You know, I have a newborn throughout this process. And it's just been so challenging to get to this moment. And today is our public mint day, and we welcome you all to join what we're building here. We really appreciate you, like, you know, buying in, so to speak, to the vision, and literally, you know, by holding these products that we're developing and we're really passionate about. And we hope, you know, if you're just cruising OpenSea or you're participating in mints, that you'll find this worthy and that you'll follow us along and become a member of our community as well. Join our Discord. So again, please enter silo.com, check out everything going on in there, get comfortable there on that website or in our community. And, you know, Mintwa, thank you.
Thanks again, y'all. Really appreciate it.
Thank you all too. And I had somebody reach out to me on Twitter or just leave a comment on Twitter earlier that was like, oh, I love the art. I love the project, but unfortunately I can't afford one right now. And you know, like, even if you're not buying an NFT, you're still part of our community. If you're there, engaging in conversations and supporting us through just, you know, spreading the word or even just joining our Discord and hanging around and getting to know people. So, just, you know, anything and everything helps. We're excited to build a community of people who care and who are excited for what the future holds. So please join us, even if it's just our Discord, and look forward to getting to know you all at some point in some way.
Yeah, we're enjoying giving some away to, you know, giving some of these NFTs to people in our Discord. I mean, we're having like daily meditations and things like that in the space or in our Discord. You know, obviously we're mental health focused, not only mental health focused, but, you know, having those types of events, people that are, you know, in there and coordinating and being a part of our community, we've been rewarding very regularly, literally with free NFTs. You know, we have that marketing budget for a reason. It's not just for like other partners. It's also for rewarding community members for being involved. So yeah, like Gurmukh said, if 0.08 Ether isn't something you can spare on an NFT, like totally understand. And also, you know, we really priced it on the lower spectrum there. I've seen a lot of mints going on, like 2.25 ETH. Also see like Moonbirds go off for 2.5 ETH. So we're talking thousands of dollars for an NFT, you know. I don't think the entry point should be there. So we priced ours, you know, right at the middle, 0.08 on the lower side. So yeah, I think that wraps it up for us. We really, really appreciate you guys, you know, having us today.
Thanks for being here, Silo team. Remember, guys, go follow them. You can find them on Twitter at Silo NFT. And anytime I say Silo, there's a P. So it's P-S-I-L-O. And on their website, www.entersilo.com. It's been great. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for all the people that joined us and your time today. I look forward to chatting again.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Cheers.